This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dan Bluestone joins me live in studio. He is the director of the Historic Preservation Program in the School of Architecture at the University of Virginia and a longtime opponent of the Meadow Creek Parkway. Dan, a new chapter was written in the story of the Meadow Creek Parkway, which goes back to the late 1950s. When it was first proposed. Just the other night, City Council took a vote. You were there. What was the significance of this, and what's the result?
Well, Coy, Monday night, three members of the City Council endorsed the signing of a memorandum of agreement that outlines the mitigation, effort to repair the harm done by building a highway through McIntyre Park. And I think that their decision was procedurally suspect. It doesn't actually follow mandates that are contained in federal law to protect public parkland, to protect and mitigate the damage being done when federal projects get involved in impacting historic resources. It was procedurally suspect. I think the councilors know that, even the councilors voting in favor of this. And their attitude is, well, let's just do it. And in some ways, Coy, that absolutely reflects the broader process, which has been, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Let's just build this highway. And if people want to call us to task, let them sue us. And that's actually what's going to happen. And what's incredible is that when they get sued, I think the accumulation of procedurally suspect moves is going to come back and haunt them. Let me tell you what it outlined.
You think there's a lawsuit here?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And what happened in this mitigation? Okay, so we're building a highway through McIntyre Park, or that's the plan, 24,000 cars a day. What's the sum total of the mitigation of the damage done to park and historic resources? They're going to take some photographs and do some drawings of the McIntyre Park golf course before they destroy it. And then they're going to spend $30,000 planting some native trees, native bushes and plants around one of the retention basins. That's the sum total in this memorandum of agreement of the repair of the damage. Now, the memorandum does refer to parkland that was purchased north of Melbourne Road, mind you, in Albemarle County, not in the city of Charlottesville, and says that land was purchased up there as replacement parkland. And one of the things that is great about—
But it's not part of the park.
Of course it's not part of the park. Yeah. And in fact, no one in Charlottesville, without having a really healthy hike, is going to be able to get to it. Now you go up and you look at that, and it's clear that VDOT and the people endorsing this memorandum of agreement think that just a green blotch of ink on a map of a highway constitutes parkland. But one of the things that's happened from the opening of McIntyre Road extended from Rye Road to Melbourne is we now know what that park's going to be like, because you get into there, you know, on that supposed replacement parkland, you are never out of earshot or eye shot of the highway that's running along there. And it's almost as if the VDOT folks thought that the best thing they could do for replacement parkland was to build a landscape where we could admire the cars that they're accommodating in their road plan.
Yeah.
And to go up there, and I'd encourage people to do this, go walk in that replacement parkland, because we're looking up there at the future of the east side of McIntyre Park, never out of earshot or eyeshot of automobiles.
We're talking with Dan Bluestone at the University of Virginia. So what exactly happened Monday night at the city council meeting? So, they took a vote, and yet again they were divided. City council's always been divided.
The narrowest of margins to endorse the memorandum of agreement that, again, provides almost no mitigation at all, no repair. Federal law says that when federal projects and federal permitting impacts historic resources and park resources, there are protections in place for those resources. And the attitude of the memorandum of agreement is, let's just take some photographs and do some drawings and plant a few native species plants.
Yeah, and that's good enough.
And then let 24,000 cars a day into the park. It's insane, and it's not nearly sufficient. And one of the things, you know, the perfectly reasonable suggestion has been, people know that in New York City, you know, Central Park and New York City have way more complicated and complex traffic problems than Charlottesville, right? They manage for days of the week and hours of the day, non-rush hour times, to close the roads in Central Park. And we've been arguing for a long time that taking this highway and saying that certain days of the week or certain hours of the day, non-peak period, non-rush hour, the road should be closed and return the park to the people of Charlottesville. And the three city councilors supporting this are not even willing to put that language in this memorandum of agreement.
Dan, let me ask you, what do you think it is on the part of some members of city council? Which the more I get news of this and other stories, it seems like that they're very, very quick almost to agree to requests of the county and what the county wants. There doesn't seem to be any, wait a minute, I don't represent people in the county. I was elected to represent people in the city. I'm very willing to agree that we are ultimately one community. However, I sit on a governing body that represents the voters in Charlottesville.
Right.
And yet they seem very quick to want to act like they represent voters in the county or business interests in the county.
I think, again, the attitude is just do it. And I do think there is a fair amount of drinking of the Kool-Aid of the Free Enterprise Forum and the Chamber of Commerce that says you must do this to keep county offices downtown. You must do this in order to get people coming downtown to patronize the businesses. But the thing is, Coy, this is a very interesting development here. If that was the plan, and if you accepted the logic of the three members of the city council that said, yes, we want to make it easier for people to come downtown, the easiest thing—
Sakos, Brown, and Hooja, yeah.
The easiest thing to do with this road would be to put a simple little flyover bridge across Route 250 and let people come downtown. It would save millions and millions and millions of dollars on this project. And what it would do would be to put downtown at a competitive advantage rather than a competitive disadvantage, because the way the project is designed now is we have an interchange that's going to make it easier for folks to get to Pantops
than to get to downtown. Of course it is. That's exactly what it is. And by default, this will be the Eastern Connector that the county was supposed to build and refused to build.
You're absolutely right. And the city council should have called the county folks on the bluff. If the Chamber of Commerce is saying, oh, all we care about is getting people downtown, then say, okay, fine, we'll build this road and we're going to do a simple little flyover. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to spend 2 or 3 years constructing an interchange, closing down major portions of Route 250, major traffic bottlenecks. How's that going to help business downtown? And then when it is completed, it's going to be easier for people to go to Pantops using that interchange, because when you get to Pantops, the parking is easy.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. And I just think they've totally bought into this line of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. We're talking with Dan Bluestone. He's the director of the Historic Preservation Program at the School of Architecture at the University of Virginia. And Greg is with us in Albemarle County. Greg, thanks for the call, buddy. Go right ahead. Oops, sorry. Greg, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I have two comments and a question. One is, I, as much as I hate it, I live in Albemarle County on 29 North at Piney Mountain, and I feel like we need a Western Parkway or something not as drastic as a bypass, but a Western Parkway to get around the city of Charlottesville, and that would alleviate some of the problem. But what common sense road could you build without going through the park? Because, I mean, there, as people make babies, we have population, and people need to drive, and I just wonder what your solution might be since they've already built the first part to get people downtown, part of my solution would be a eastern and a western bypass, but yeah. I'd like to hear your comment.
Greg, thanks for the call, and I've heard about people making babies, and that was supposed to be the plan. I mean, if you look back and really study the history of this, the city and the county agreed a long time ago that here's how they were going to solve their transportation problems, and they both put it in writing. It was called the three-party agreement between the city, the county, and the university. We're going to have overpasses on 29. We're going to have a western bypass, a eastern connector, and Meadow Creek Parkway. And they all agreed that no one would build any part of the Meadow Creek Parkway until all the other parts were done. But the county reneged on all the other parts.
Right.
They won't allow the overpasses on 29 now. They won't allow the western bypass, and they're not building an eastern connector. And yet they went ahead and built their part of the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Great point, Coy. Greg, thanks for the comment. I agree with you, and I think that that would be a way more reasonable way of handling county traffic. It would at least be going on county land with county dollars rather than trying to get the city to foot the bill for infrastructure improvements that really are serving county growth. Now, to the issue—
So same thing with the water supply plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to the issue of babies and growth in our region— Greg, I think the best thing that we can possibly do is start living more densely in a more sustainable pattern where people are less dependent on automobiles, where they can use mass transit. And that means just building more densely. And I'm sure Piney Mountain?
Piney Mountain, yeah, of 29.
Is a great place for you to live. I'd love to see affordable housing in the city where you and your children can walk to the downtown mall, yeah, can enjoy parks in the city, and start establishing a different form of settlement in our region.
Yeah. So what happens next? You said something about a lawsuit. But before we talk about that, were you surprised that the county went ahead and built their portion, dumping traffic down on Melbourne?
No, not at all, because this is totally consistent. The county basically is building an argument where they want to go into a federal judge and ask what Greg just said. And it won't be admissible in a court case, but they'll let it be known that they've spent tens of millions of dollars building their section, and how if the judge doesn't let them now plow through McIntyre Park, then all bets are off, and they'll have wasted all that money. And I actually think they're great plans for that. I hope that this is thrown out in court. And we'll have one of the nicest mass transit bicycle arteries in the region. And I think that that's what should be done with this lovely roadway that they've built, is put bicyclists on it, use it for mass transit and buses, and actually begin to give people an incentive to get out of their cars because they can get closer to downtown more quickly, yeah, without that.
I remember reading back in the 90s when I did the whole timeline history of the Meadow Creek Parkway. I remember reading this report that was up in City Hall from the 70s when they brought all these citizens together and asked them in this big, huge design meeting, what do you want to do with McIntyre Park? And there was all of these wonderful ideas
of
Boating Lake and a merry-go-round and farmer's market. Yeah. And it was beautiful. It was what McIntyre intended back, you know, in eons ago when he said, I want to give the city a park so we have something like New York has.
Right, a park in perpetuity, right, Coy? In perpetuity, not as a highway, as a park. And the thing is, you know, some people say, well, this is just for these golfers and whatnot. But that land is available for repurposing, reusing in any number of ways over the next 100 years, right? And who knows what the form of our city will be in 100 years, where if this density is created, maybe this is this vital central park like you have in other major cities. You put a highway through there and you foreclose so many of the options. Now, Coy, one of the things I know that you had gotten a glance at the editorial in the Daily Progress.
Yeah, what was your reaction to that?
They're wrongheaded, and I think the Daily Progress should be embarrassed at the number of errors that they put in an editorial statement. They talk about how this memorandum of agreement that the city council finally signed had been around since 2006. I'm actually a consulting party on that memorandum of agreement. The first draft of it was released on August 27th, 2009, And so they just use that as their lead in, and this has taken so long. And then they have the hubris or the blindness to compare the Meadow Creek Parkway to the Washington Monument, the Eiffel Tower, and the highway that connects the Florida Keys, as if this is our monument. Who are they kidding? Who are they kidding? And by the way, the reason there are delays on this project, let me tell you why there are delays on this project right now. It's because the Corps of Engineers, who have to issue a little permit for a little culvert that the Meadow Creek Parkway is crossing, has been asking VDOT to be honest ever since they got involved in this process. VDOT is unwilling to say that the terminus of this road is a federally funded grade-separated interchange. They say that the road that they're trying to get these permits for ends 775 feet north of 250, and the Army Corps of Engineers must be thinking this does not meet the smell test.
So as far as the Army Corps of Engineers, the federal government, which is going to permit this because it's in a park,
right,
as far as they're concerned, VDOT is lying and is telling the federal government, oh, this road actually dead ends in the park.
That's right.
It never connects with 250.
Never connects.
Which is a lie.
It's a total lie. And they know it. And that's why they have not signed the permit.
Because if they tell the truth, what? Why aren't they telling the truth?
Because if they tell the truth, people will see that there are federal dollars involved in this road, that the segmentation will suddenly be a complete ruse, and it will get thrown out by the courts because federal money is not allowed to be committed to highways that take parkland.
Dan Bluestone is director of the Historic Preservation Program in the School of Architecture at the University of Virginia. Appreciate the update, Dan. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.